October 20th, 2025. Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, and I'm coming to you live. Not live, excuse me. I'm coming to you recorded. This is a podcast. But I am sitting comfortably in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown in our beautiful Banting Park home in a neighborhood we love. I am joined, as always, by my extraordinary producer, the mighty Max Martinson, who will be taking off either later tonight or the wee hours of the morning on a camping trip in Door County. So, you excited for that, Max?
I am very excited for it. Finally getting a couple days away from the big city.
So later on in the podcast, you'll have to give us a little agenda of what you're doing and what you hope to achieve. This Week in Waukesha is a Civic Media production. Broadcast in cooperation with WAUK Radio, 540 AM. And is it 101.3? Is that the new call number, Max?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe it is, yeah. So, but I still get it on 101.1. So, and we're proud to be part of the Civic Media Network and encourage everyone to take advantage of the wonderful podcast as well as the radio shows. The revolution will not be televised, but you'll be able to hear it on Civic Media Radio and podcast, as well as here on This Week in Waukesha. And speaking of revolution, it was not what you'd call a slow news week here in the Shaw. And I guess the best place to start is backwards. We're going to go like kind of with the most recent happenings and then go backwards, because kind of the main event of the week happened earlier in the week. And for those listening, you probably have a good idea what I'm talking about. But in the meanest of times, yesterday, October 19th, Packers won, which was great, out in Phoenix. And after the five-hour delay, some issues with their own plane. I heard they did their walkthroughs on the airport or the tarmac. But anyway, they, against overcoming adversity, they won. And then back here in Waukesha at 9 in the morning, there was a different kind of sporting event. The Tombstone Trot at Prairie Home Cemetery. I'm proud to be a member of the Cemetery Commission. And the big promo, this is the second annual too, mind you, and the promo from the event planner says, get ready to lace up and experience the thrill of the inaugural Tombstone Trot. That was from last year. But together with Prairie Home Cemetery and Silver Circle Sports Events, people got to participate in an unforgettable journey through the winding paths of Waukesha history. People got to immerse themselves in the serene beauty of Prairie Home Cemetery's historic grounds while challenging their endurance. It included a 5K run, a 2K walk, and a kids run. So it wasn't just a race. It was a unique opportunity to connect with history, nature, and fellow enthusiasts in a remarkable setting. And those who participated had a great time. And this is the second offering. And I remember initially when it was launched last year, when while I was on the Cemetery Commission, there were some concerns, I think, from some people, some neighbors, that well, this isn't a very tasteful thing to do in a cemetery. Excuse me. but anyone that knows the history of Prairie Home Cemetery would know that it was actually a real center of the community. A lot of events were held there. On Memorial Day, there was actually like picnics. And I think on other holidays as well. And it was really an opportunity for a lot of families to pay their respects to their loved ones while still being together as a family and celebrating as a family. Knowing that those dearly departed were close to them. And so it really wasn't a precedent holding this Tombstone Trot there. And so I'm really glad to see that it's continued and it was another successful event. And with the weather cooling down, I'm sure it was really nice for the runners too. Although it did warm up, I guess by early afternoon, got it in the 70s. But I was really happy to hear that that event went on really well. And then on Saturday, the 18th, we had a No Kings rally at Cutler Park that was attended by approximately, well, they're saying over 3,000 protesters, citizens, attendees, if you will. And you may recall on a previous podcast, I had the organizers from Waukesha Resist, who were part of the organizing team that put together the rally at Cutler Park. And I went, I brought my media credentials in case there was trouble. I don't know if that would help me too much after what I've seen in other cities. But was really expecting maybe a couple hundred people, thinking that everyone would be in Milwaukee. Max was in Milwaukee, right, for the protest? So,
yes, I was.
Yeah. And were you there in your capacity as a member of civic media? You were observing?
Yes, I was there working it. So got a couple of interviews with a couple different people. And then I was the one who actually just put together the radio report for the whole network for today's newscast. So.
Oh, great. That's great. Well, I did hear it. It sounded great. So you did a fantastic job. And, you know, I was pleased to see such a big turnout in Waukesha. But then I heard, too, there were similar rallies in Muskego. Fire Engine Red Muskego had a No Kings rally. And Oconomowoc also had a big one. So I think some other communities I missed, not only the Milwaukee area, but throughout the state. And while I was walking the rally, I had a chance to speak with some of the attendees, who included a retired athletic director from a local high school, a couple of war veterans, and some self-proclaimed wealthy Republicans from Oconomowoc. And they were being funny about it. They were trying not to be too pretentious about it, but just making the point that they fall on that side of the aisle as MAGA, and even they are, shall we say, very indignant about what's going on. And, I heard President Trump's reactions to the rallies that had taken place around the country, and he described the turnouts as small, which I think is ridiculous. He described the people as not good people, that they weren't very representative of what America's all about, or they didn't represent Americans. And, and again, a retired athletic director who could probably think of a lot more interesting things to do on a beautiful Saturday in the fall, especially with a smorgasbord of good college football on TV. War veterans, people who made and I say ultimate because even though they survived, they certainly lost parts of themselves, definitely their youth, in defending our freedoms and serving their country in overseas battles. And again, shall we say, business Republicans that were, pretty well dressed for a fall day and pretty well spoken and well educated. And so, I mean, you take that sampling, and to me, I can't think of a finer representative of America, especially people from differing viewpoints coming together to protest what's going on with MAGA and with the Trump administration. And Trump had another comment I thought was interesting today, was that he said he's not a king, that he quote unquote works his ass off for the American people. And I'm like, well, you can still be a king and have a great work ethic, but knowing the number of golf junkets he's went on and the cost to the taxpayers, I don't imagine he's that industrious or hardworking, but that's just me. That's my judgment. And time to move on. So, Max, what were your observations before we continue with the big story here? What were your observations of the No Kings rally in Milwaukee that you'd like to share?
It was a really big turnout. Maybe not the coolest, but one of the most interesting things that occurred during the protest, during the march, was protesters occupied almost 10 city blocks at an entire time. Wow. They spanned all the way from the entrances over from the interstate over by the Pfister Hotel, all the way up around North Prospect Avenue up to Juneau Avenue. So it was genuinely a huge turnout, especially for the march, let alone for the demonstrations at Cathedral Square. It was completely peaceful. The only like relevant thing that happened that wasn't peaceful was somebody drove through the police barricade to get to the interstate entrances, but other than that, it was, didn't really notice anything. Saw a couple of cool people who I knew there. A couple of people who were my I guess, instructors when I went to school from MATC.
Yeah.
Saw my primary, like my main instructors, his two sons were out there in a couple of moose costumes with a conch shell, which was kind of fun. But sure. It was also really cool to see the amount of diversity in the demographic of the crowd.
Yeah.
Old, young, different races, yep. different genders.
Yeah.
Everybody, no matter where they came from or who they were out there in support of the movement. So.
Okay. Very good. So you're pleased with what you saw.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Again, because I was there reporting, I can't really, get into it, but.
Yeah. Yep, that's where you got to draw the line, right? You got to keep that journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
So, I knew you could pull it off, Max.
Appreciate it.
Well, it was interesting for me because I live in Waukesha, and from my time serving on the city council,
yep.
I really got to know a lot of the small business owners in the downtown Waukesha crowd, people that are responsible for Waukesha's resurgence in the last, 10, 15 years or so. And so, on my way to the car, I had to stop and get some sweets at Allo Chocolate from my sweetie at home. That of course, is my wife, sweet Melissa. And, fall is actually when we first came together or kind of discovered each other, fell in love. More than 15 years ago. And so it gives me pause always, like when you have a beautiful fall day and the leaves are changing colors, I have to stop and get something nicer for my wife. So, but on the way there, I had a chance to talk to some of the local shopkeepers, as we used to say, or, local business owners and people I, of course, come to respect. And, many of them, because they're small business, they are very steadfast in their nonpartisan politics, that especially because the city's their whole life and what they do for their business, that they don't have the luxury of time to participate in rallies or risk alienate certain customer bases, and really are just kind of focused on common sense solutions. And We had some good conversations. We were able to shift the conversation from the national dialogue, since we agreed that, oftentimes people just get too upset. People don't know how to engage in and I'm guilty of that. My wife's called me out of that. We still need work in terms of engaging in civil dialogue when we are approaching others with differences of opinion. And for me, it's especially people that are pro MAGA, that it's really hard for me to reconcile a lot of those belief systems. So, but anyway, these were some of the concerns from local business people when we focused on what's going on in the city. And many are concerned about what is now a partisan mayoral election coming up. Now, we know Waukesha on paper, city elections, county elections have always been nonpartisan, or they have been for a very, very long time. And excuse me again, man. I think I'm gonna excuse me. So
bless you.
Yeah, thank you. I need a Kleenex. My kingdom for a Kleenex. But what I was gonna say was that, okay, so they've always been nonpartisan on paper, and they'll continue to be, I believe. But with the candidacies of Republican State Assemblyman Scott Allen and Council President Alderwoman Alicia Halbenslaven, who's, very, whose roots in the Democratic Party run very deep. She's been active with them for a long time, and she's given a lot of her time and her energy and expertise. And I'm not faulting her for that, but the issue still remains now is that you have what is essentially a partisan election. Our only hope is that other candidates will join the mix to add a little variety, a little different perspective. And one business owner was saying that, now is the time is ripe for a centrist candidate and a nonpartisan candidate that knows the city well, that knows the ins and outs, that it's a time for that person to step forward and put their name in the hat. And that would make for a pretty interesting race. My concern is, again, because these are partisan races, that partisan money, money from out of state, money from WISRED. We saw what the Democratic Party of Waukesha did in the last aldermanic election, that, you know, unfortunately there's going to be a lot of misinformation and there's going to be a lot of smear campaigns, and both sides just really getting into the ugly side of politics instead of focusing on what's most important to Waukesha residents at the most local level. So there's concerns about that. There's concerns about the financial state of the city. Yeah, I know recently there was like a, I forgot what they called it, an assessment or something, an increased fee for garbage and recycling that people are upset about. Some of these people still question why a city our size has both a city administrator and a mayor, especially when the city administrator makes demonstrably more, significantly more than what the mayor does in terms of annual salary. And, you know, I have some opinions on that either way, but that this is where I choose to cling to my role as a member of the media, just kind of putting that out there and hopefully have future discussions about it with some guests that are working with the city or are involved, do a lot of business with the city, that can speak more intelligently to this and offer some different sides and provide some more education to all of us in those different areas. So, so that was my Saturday. And Friday night, it was last game of the season, regular season, that is, the Friday Night Lights. And our beloved Blackshirts of Waukesha South lost its final game of the season at home to Catholic Memorial. I think it was like 40-7. And, you know, it was a 3-6 season, but four of those six losses were by less than 3 points. And so I know a loss is still a loss, but, you know, our Blackshirts are in the thick of things. They're in the fight. And with some seniors returning, there'll be quite a few, some juniors returning next year. They should be in, it should be an interesting year next year, one to get really excited about, especially if they can reload. I mean, there's only three seniors that graduated and one, I believe, was a starter. So there's certainly a lot to look forward to for Coach Wiltz and his team for next year. And so we're already very excited about that. So how are we doing on time here, Max?
Got about 2 minutes left. We got about over 2 minutes.
Okay. So here's what I'll do is I'll kind of introduce what the big news of the week was, and then we'll dedicate most of the second podcast to really doing a deeper dive. But as I'm sure everybody knows by now, on Wednesday, the 15th of October, 15th District Alderman Rico Camacho posted a warning on social media, on Facebook, I believe, that he was informed by a constituent that ice was in downtown Waukesha, seen in front of People's Park, warning everyone to stay inside. And the exact quote actually said, "Everyone, please stay alert, stay inside. Ice is in Waukesha in the corner of People's Park. They are undercover." That statement was surrounded by some photos of who are believed to be ICE undercover officials. We would learn after some discovery that the men in question were employees of a private security company who were involved either like in a training exercise or advance work for a visit. That's one of the stories we were told, but they didn't know who the visitor was. I was guessing it might've been the governor or lieutenant governor. But supposedly they're going to all the different restaurants and they were asking to see their exits and their restrooms. And, but they definitely weren't ICE. And we got confirmation from the county sheriff's department that they weren't ICE. So the men's identities were confirmed by a fellow coworker who was shown the post by one of his client organizations in Waukesha. And, you know, there was a great deal of panic. Some restaurants and businesses closed. And, you know, you can't do an insurance claim on something like that. It's not like there's a fire in the kitchen or, you know, and again, as a former restaurant operator, I've been involved in those things. But a few hours later, Alderman Camacho had posted a retraction. And he says, "So I want to be," and this is the actual post, it says, "So I want to be clear that I received information from concerned constituent because there was a belief that ICE was by People's Park. I was completely incorrect that these people were not ICE agents," is what I think he means to say here. "I should have done my due diligence and checked to verify, but I overreacted. I apologize to anyone and the men in the photo going to lunch that may have felt a potential harm to the situation. I will ensure that this is I will take this as a learning opportunity and take full responsibility for this. And, you know, just to close out here, you know, Alderman Camacho admitted that he should have verified the information he received, and it was good of him to certainly to own that and to apologize. But there's also a situation where the horses have left the barn, the trains have left the station. And in podcast number two, we're going to do a deeper dive in this. And, you know, we're going to approach this very carefully. We're not here to make any character assassinations, but just like as Alderman Camacho said, is to explore this learning opportunity for all of us. So thanks for listening in. Stick around for podcast number two here on This Week in Waukesha. Thanks again. Thanks to Max for all his help. And we'll be right back for podcast number two. See ya!